Welcome to People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by Dr. Allison Rees, an internal medicine physician, educator, and molecular biologist who is the head of the Inflammation Laboratory at NYU Langone Hospital, Long Island, and an associate professor of medicine at NYU Long Island School of Medicine, and a member of AFA's Medical Scientific and Memory Screening Advisory Board. Welcome, Dr. Rees. Good to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure.
Our pleasure as well. So today we're going to be discussing living well with Alzheimer's disease, what we can do now, and a look at a promising future. So what is Alzheimer's disease?
Well, Alzheimer's disease is a disease of the brain and nervous system that leads to a lot of symptoms that eventually become disabling. There's often loss of memory and judgment. People tend to get confused and lost, and this gets worse progressively over time. And when we look at the brains of people with Alzheimer's disease, they are filled with these two proteins called amyloid and tau, and that's kind of how we can make a definitive diagnosis. But the course of Alzheimer's disease is fairly predictable with some variations, but unfortunately it ultimately does lead to a state of pretty much total loss of that self. You know, the person becomes unable to speak, unable to recognize the loved ones, may not be able to eat, and eventually it is fatal. And right now we do not have cure. We do not have treatments that are very effective, but it's a great urgency to try to change that right now.
Okay. So Dr. Rees, we know that caregivers play an important role in helping their loved ones live a high quality of life. What adaptations do they need to make for optimal health for their loved ones?
Well, I cannot tell you enough how important the caregivers are in every aspect of helping someone with Alzheimer's disease. And the loved ones, the family, the people who come in are the support system to try to maintain normal life for as long and as well as possible. And a lot of that revolves around keeping the lifestyle very constant and predictable and safe with recognizable and familiar things surrounding the person, with a lot of reminders and help, but yet also letting the person have as much of the ability to do things as they are able. So not to make someone, you know, take them and put them in the position of a child, but to try to help them to do everything in their capacity. I think that it involves helping the person to stay active, to be social as much as possible, even in these times of the pandemic, which I think we are moving hopefully out of that and able to be more together, to engage in the world, to pursue activities they love, and to be a constant reminder of all that they have been through their lives in the past and not to lose themselves. So in every aspect of care at every stage, the caregiver is so crucial. And not only that, but the caregiver is under huge stress and pressure, very often carrying such a burden. So I always try to say to the caregiver, you are special and precious. You must do self-care. If you are going to be so stressed in your life and have so much responsibility, you must have your own help and support. You must be able to rest and have a good lifestyle for you and have some breathing space.
Excellent. So can you discuss lifestyle factors, current treatments, and future developments affecting Alzheimer's disease?
So this is my area of passion, because I am both, as you mentioned, a scientist who is trying to understand the molecular basis of Alzheimer's disease to help try to find a really effective treatment or a cure. And I am an internal medicine physician who has seen and treated and worked with so many people with Alzheimer's disease and the families. And as part of the Alzheimer's Foundation, it is my privilege to meet and speak to so many family members. So first I want to say that ultimately the message I hope to carry today is that there is a possibility for cure. I do not believe that this disease is one's fate and that we're not going to find a way to help. I believe that it is possible. We haven't done it yet, but we're going to get there, because it is something that can be done. So for right now, we can take best care of ourselves. There is no magic pill. There is no magic right now. But the ultimate way to keep your health optimal and keep your brain functioning well is to have that healthy lifestyle. And by that, I mean exercise and physical activity, eating a healthy and well-balanced diet that is not full of sugar, that includes fruits and vegetables and protein, and all in a good balance, nothing to excess, and also not to deny oneself treats on occasion. Control blood pressure if a person has diabetes, control the sugar levels, but be overall good health is so important. Heart health is so important, because a healthy heart gives a good blood supply to the brain, and always the brain requires blood and oxygen to function, and I see so much of that interaction, that you need your heart and your cardiovascular system and the blood vessels in your brain to be in good shape to keep the brain healthy. And of course, socializing, engaging in activities, being with the community, being with friends and family, and good exposure to vitamin D, vitamin E, all our vitamins, preferably in foods, not from pills. I think all is best when you are eating it in your diet. And I do want to say a special thing about diet. I think we're too narrow in what we define as healthy, in that we don't consider a lot of times cultural backgrounds and tastes that different people have from different communities. We need more dietitians and people who work in the field of food and cooking to come up with recipes that fit people's cultures that are healthy, because it's the best way to combine what I talked about before, which is you want people to have things that are familiar to them, that they love and enjoy and that resonate with them. And food is so much a part of many cultures. And if you're going to tell someone, well, you have to eat this, this, and this to be healthy, and it's not foods that are comfortable or that they love, then I think that does more harm than good. So we need to merge those things, and I think that that's an area that we need to explore further. So these are the things we can do for ourselves. But then the other side of the coin is, what is the research community going to do for you when I say that I believe we can make a breakthrough? So I mentioned those two proteins, amyloid and tau, that we see under the microscope in the brain when a person has Alzheimer's. But the problem that we've come up against is that when you try to fix Alzheimer's disease by getting rid of those proteins, you do not get the result that you would like. And that's been the problem with this new medication that they just marketed called aducanumab, that you may have heard about this drug.
Yes.
That's very expensive, somewhat dangerous, and I do not believe it has very much effect. It got through with a lot of controversy. But the principle of drugs like that is that if we could get rid of those proteins, we would fix things. And what I and many others in my field are seeing is that those proteins are the collateral damage of a process that began probably 10 to 20 years earlier, that it is the process you need to stop rather than to attack the proteins that by then a lot of the damage has been done and they are just a sign of something that already happened. So a lot of us, and I hope a groundswell of us, are trying to go back and figure out what we can do to change the brain in a way that it will not develop to the point that it makes these proteins and loses so many of the nerve cells. We must stop the death of the nerve cells. So that's the principle on which I think a lot of us are now turning and moving in that direction. And to do that, we are getting more and more incredible cutting-edge technologies, the genomics and proteomics, which are like the words that we throw around. But essentially, what we want to do is look at the behavior of nerve cells of healthy people and nerve cells of people with Alzheimer's disease. And we can extract pieces of those nerve cells actually right out of the blood, because we cannot go around biopsying people's brains. This is one of the issues, and I know it gets, I don't want to take too much of your time, but if you have a cancer, we can biopsy the tumor. We can look at it under the microscope and figure out how to treat it. We can't go around biopsying people's brains, but new technology allows us to extract pieces of neurons from the blood to look at. And what we want to do, and what my group is doing, is get people with Alzheimer's, healthy people, and the children and the brothers and sisters of people with Alzheimer's to look side by side at what is happening inside of the neurons of the people who have Alzheimer's and those who don't, and try to make corrective action. That's like an overall kind of global view of what I perceive as the way forward, to do corrective things to keep the neurons alive rather than waiting till all these proteins have appeared and then try to take them out because the brain cells have already died by then. So that's kind of where I think we're getting to the point where we're going to be able to do these things with either genetic manipulations or medications, and there are so many things that are available out there that we're going to start trying to look at, and we can guide a lot of treatments right to the brain. We have ways to do that. So that's what I think is the exciting cutting edge that I'm hopeful, and I want to bring that hope to all of you.
Thank you. So I know that you have an event coming up pretty soon.
Yes, on October 19th at 10 a.m., we're going to do a virtual event. And I'm going to be speaking just on this topic in more detail and with my slide presentation to, again, let the community know all of the things that I just summarized here, what you can do for yourself right now, because the healthier that you are and more brain cells you can preserve, the more likely we are going to be able to help when we are ready. And I want to push this forward as fast as I can because, you know, I would like to see these things in my lifetime.
All right. So, Dr. Reese, we want to thank you so much for sharing this wonderful information, this great information, and we look forward to having you back again.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I want to give a shout-out to the Alzheimer's Foundation of America because they are so wonderful in supporting the kind of work I do and the work that others do, and in having so many resources for people with Alzheimer's disease from every part of the globe. They are helpful and caring, and they have incredible, wonderful professional people who are there for you in every aspect. So thank you again for taking the time to speak to me today.
You're very welcome.
People Power and Politics, Hard Talk, Riveting Interviews, Community Updates, In-Depth Analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.